الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Views of Madini Channel, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif Salawat Alan Nabi in one narration which is found in At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla alayya fi yawmin alfa marratin. The one who recites salat upon me 1,000 times in a day. Lam yamut hatta yara maq'adahu min al-jannah. That person will not die until he sees his abode in paradise. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Inshallah, in the speech today, we'll hear about a surah which is recited by all Muslims. There are many surahs in the Quran which I'm sure many Muslims would desire to be able to recite by heart. Surah Yasin, Surah Mulk, and these require much effort. You have to memorize many, many verses. 30 verses of Surah Mulk, many more verses in Surah Yasin. But this surah today, which we will be hearing about, majority, if not all Muslims, have memorized this surah. And this surah is very powerful, a very blessed surah. And inshallah, we'll be hearing the virtues of this particular surah of the Quran. Let us introduce this surah by mentioning a narration which states the fadila, the excellence of this surah. Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id bin Mu'alla radiyallahu ta'ala, he narrates. He says, I was offering salah one day when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me. So this sahabi is in salah, namaz. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam called him. He continued his namaz. He says, I continued offering my salah until I finished. I then went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he said to me, he asked me, he said, what prevented you from coming to me when I called out to you? The Sahabi says, I said, I was praying salah. I was offering salah, namaz. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied, that did Allah azza wa jal not say in the Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. Translation: O believers, present yourselves upon the call of Allah and His Messenger when the Messenger calls you for such a thing which will give you life. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahabi after mentioning this verse, that shall I not tell you about the most superior surah in the Quran? Now we know there are 114 surahs in the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ is about to tell this Sahabi about the most superior, afdal surah in the Quran. Shall I not tell you about the most superior surah in the Quran before I leave the masjid? The Sahabi said, yes, of course, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened when the Prophet ﷺ was about to leave the masjid, this Sahabi follows and he reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Messenger of Allah, you said you were going to tell me about the most superior surah of the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha, which are the seven oft repeated verses that were given to me. The Prophet alaihi wasallam mentioned that the most afdal surah in the Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha. So this is that surah, inshallah, we'll be hearing about today. But prior to moving on, a few points. What do we learn from this account? That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has such a high maqam in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if he calls you while you're offering salah, you must leave your salah and attend his court. No one in creation Today, for example, if somebody called you whilst you're offering salah, and you leave your salah to go to him, or you begin conversing, speaking with him, your namaz would break straight away. It would become invalid. Your salah would become invalidated. But the Prophet ﷺ, the best of creation, alayhi salatu wassalam, is that noble personality that if he calls you during your salah, you must go to his blessed court. You must leave your salah. And the ulama have said, look at this beautiful subtle point, that when you go to the court of the Prophet ﷺ, you've spoken to the Messenger of Allah, he's told you what he wanted to tell you. Now when you come back to offer your salah, you continue where you left off from. You don't have to restart your namaz. That shows your namaz does not break. If the Prophet ﷺ calls you and you go to him and you come back, you continue where you left off from. This is a khususiyah, this is a khasiyat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and it's proven from the verse of the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ himself mentioned that verse, that, oh my Sahabi, you thought that you're not allowed to leave your prayer, but what about the verse of the Quran? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasooli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. That you must answer to the call of Allah and His Messenger when the Prophet ﷺ calls you. You must answer. So we learn from this the excellence, the shan, the rank, the status of our master, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we also learn that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in were very, very fortunate people. You know, maybe we sacrificed upon their good fortune. That they lived in a time where the Prophet alayhi salam did this. And there are other narrations as well, where the Prophet alayhi salam called a Sahabi whilst that Sahabi is offering salah. Now that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting in his noble grave in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, he's veiled himself, he's departed from the world, we are deprived of this honor. It won't be the case that we'll ever be called whilst offering salah. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in was so fortunate that day and night they saw the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in so many instances, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them whilst they were offering salah, and taught them that when you come to me, your namaz is not invalid. Go back and continue where you left off from. So subhanAllah, the point that we learned from this narration is that Suratul Fatiha, which majority of Muslims have memorized, and remember in namaz, it's wajib to recite Suratul Fatiha. So, when majority of Muslims know about this surah, have memorized this surah, we should also try and find out about the excellence of this surah. In this one hadith, we're told that it is the most superior surah of the Quran. Let us hear about some other excellences of this surah. Prior to mentioning other narrations, a point here, what does it mean that it's the most superior surah of the Quran? What does this mean? Question might come into your mind. All the Quran is the speech of Allah, is it not? Of course it is. Suratul Fatiha all the way till Suratul Nas. Every single letter, every single word is the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can we say that one part of the divine speech is greater than the other part? This is a question. And the ulama answered that by saying that what this means is that Suratul Fatiha is greater than all other surahs in two aspects, from two perspectives. Number one, when you recite Surah Fatiha, it gives you more reward than reciting from other parts of the Quran. This is what it's talking about. And secondly, the themes of Surah Fatiha are greater in comparison to the themes found in other surahs of the Quran. To understand this point, let's take for example Suratul Lahab. This surah, what are the themes? What are the topics discussed in this surah? Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab is a staunch enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His wretched wife, she's discussed in here. The carrier of wood, she's discussed in that particular surah of the Quran. But when you look at Suratul Ikhlas, for example, what is discussed? Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kun huwa Allahu ahad. Let's say he Allah is one. Monotheism is being discussed. So we hear from this example, we know clearly that some surahs have greater themes in them than other surahs of the Quran. There is no comparison between the tawheed of Allah and an individual like Abu Lahab. There's no comparison. But it's all the divine speech. What does it mean when one part is greater than the other? Number one, there's more reward in reciting Surah Fatiha. And secondly, Surah Fatiha contains greater themes than other surahs of the Quran. Let's listen to another narration. Sayyidina Abu Zayd radiyallahu ta'ala an. He says, I was walking with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam through the streets of Medina al-Munawwara at night. Subhanallah, at night time he was walking in the city of the beloved Prophet alayhi salam, Medina al-Munawwara. And he says, we heard a sound coming from a house. What was that sound? That was the sound of the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam do? He stopped. He continued listening to the recitation. And when the recitation was complete, it was revealed that a companion, another companion of the Prophet alayhi salam, was performing tahajjud prayer and he was offering salah and reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, مَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ مِثْلُهَا. When the Sahabi had finished his recitation, the Prophet alayhi salam said the beautiful words, مَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ مِثْلُهَا. There is nothing like Surah Fatiha in the Quran. This shows the rank, the exalted rank of Surah Al-Fatiha amongst all the other surahs of the Quran. A beautiful point that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that Shaitan wept bitterly on four occasions. There were four occasions when Shaitan cried bitterly. Number one, when he was cursed, when he was made an outcast, he was made to leave Jannah. That's when he wept bitterly the first time. Secondly, when he was told to descend onto the earth. And obviously there's no comparison between the dunya, the earth, and Jannah. So again he cried. A third time was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared his prophethood, made the declaration of Nubuwa, I'lanun Nubuwa. And the fourth time he cried was when Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed. When Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed, Shaitan cried and wailed. This again shows that this surah causes immense pain to Shaitan. Shaitan, who is deprived of all goodness, who is wretched, he is rejected, accursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Muslims, we need to continue reciting this surah. And as we'll hear, there are so many benefits of reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. And not only that, learn about this surah as well. Why it's so great in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Fatiha, we know it's a very short surah. In fact, it's only one ruku, 7 verses, 27 words, and 140 letters. Imam Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala says, Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed in Madinatul Munawwara, and according to another opinion, it was revealed twice. Once in Madinatul Munawwara, once in Makkatul Mukarrama. Now Surah Fatiha, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. He said, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed from a treasure beneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he narrates. He says that the Prophet alayhi wa sallam was once sitting with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, the archangel, the leader of all the angels alayhi wa sallam. When all of a sudden an angel descended from the heavens, Jibreel alayhi wa sallam looked up, saw that angel descending. He raised his head, he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is an angel who has never come down to the earth before. The first time he is coming down. And then that angel greeted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rejoice, express happiness, for you have received two lights which were not given to any prophet before you. Meaning, these two things that are about to be mentioned are khas for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah. Number one, the light of Surah Al-Fatiha and the light of the concluding verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. The last few verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Whoever recites these is given a special reward in exchange for every letter. And in explaining this, the commentators of hadith, they say that you receive reward for reciting every part of the Quran. In fact, for every letter of the Quran, you receive 10 good deeds. You will receive 10 good deeds here as well, but an additional reward is also granted for those who recite Surah Al-Fatiha and the concluding verses of Surah Al-Baqarah as well. Imam Fakhruddin Razi Rahmatullahi Ali, he says, what does he say regarding Surah Al-Fatiha? He is known as Imam Al-Mufassirin. His tafsir, Mafatih Al-Ghayb, is one of the greatest tafsir to be written. He says, hell has 7 gates, and the 7 letters that denote upon punishment are not mentioned in Surah Fatiha. Hence, whoever recites Surah Fatiha, believes in it, and recognizes its realities, will be protected from the 7 gates of hell. You recite Surah Fatiha, you gain protection from the fire of hell. And where we converse with others for hours on end, when we ring our friends or loved ones, we speak for hours on end. But here, when it comes to reciting surahs of the Quran, and in particular Surah Fatiha, how many of us actually have a habit? Or even other blessed azkar, who has a habit of reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim regularly? There are so many fadail regarding that. Reciting Durood Sharif, reciting Surah Fatiha. So we must make a habit, inshallah. The next point regarding Surah Al-Fatiha is that Surah Al-Fatiha is a cure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at it, generally speaking, the whole Quran is a cure. The whole Quran is shifa for the believers. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, and this is in Surah 17, verse 82. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Translation, and we send down in the Quran that which is a cure and a mercy for the believer. The Quran is a cure and a mercy. So the entire Quran is shifa, as we know from this verse of the Quran. But in particular, Surah Al-Fatiha, what has been said regarding that? In this regard, the Prophet ﷺ said, هِيَ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَهِيَ شِفَاءٌ مِّن كُلِّ دَاءٍ The Prophet ﷺ said, Surah Al-Fatiha is Ummul Kitab, the basis of the Quran, and it contains a cure for every illness. You know, when our children become ill, or any relative, loved one, then we resort to all sorts of different ways in trying to heal that person so that he recovers. But here we're told that Surah Al-Fatiha is a means of cure. And let me give you examples how the Sahaba believed in this wholeheartedly. Sometimes it comes down to yaqeen. In fact, we will say majority of the times, it comes down to yaqeen. If somebody has yaqeen, certainty, that by reciting this surah, this wazifa, this dhikr, inshallah Allah will cure me, he'll become cured. But if the belief is weak, or it might happen, it might not happen, then we need to work on that. We need to have yaqeen, certainty in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in this regard, it's narrated, this is in Sahih Bukhari, that the companions, around 30 of them, were traveling somewhere once, when a person came and said, our leader has been stung by a scorpion. He's been stung by a scorpion. And can you help us in this regard? One companion, radiallahu anhu, replied, yes, I will recite over him. This is where we gain proof and dalil for doing dam today. Dam is a word used when you blow over a patient. You recite words of the Quran, du'as, adiyah that are mentioned in ahadith, and you recite over an ill person, a patient, with the intention of gaining cure for him. Now, this sahabi said, I will recite over him. So what did he do? He went to the affected man and recited Surah Al-Fatiha over him. Surah Al-Fatiha. Through the blessings of this, that person who was stung by a scorpion was cured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the power of the Quran. This is the power of Surah Al-Fatiha. But we need to have yaqeen. We need to have certainty, complete reliance, tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the kalam of Allah will lead to cure, inshallah. Just in the manner, if I can give an example, when we have a headache, we say, oh, we need to get some medicine from the shop, certain tablets from the shop, that will definitely cure my headache. My headache will be relieved. Or when we have any other illness, flu, cold, or whatever the illness is, we already have in our mind that if I eat a certain medicine, if I take a certain medicine, I'll gain cure. Now remember, in reality, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has placed shifa in whatever you take. Whatever you take in and of itself cannot do anything. Meaning this is our belief as Muslims, and we are taught in Aqeedah, that the athar, the effect that has been placed in that medicine is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise fire would not be able to burn if Allah did not place the ta'thir, that efficacy of burning in it. So when we take medicine, we have this yaqeen, I'll take it for a few days, the doctor has said, take this medicine without fail, this many times a day, and you'll be alright. And through tajriba, through experience, we know that certain things work. Now here, the sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was obviously taught by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. The Prophet alayhi salam taught the sahaba that suratul fatiha is shifa'un min kulli da. It leads to a cure for every disease. And then this sahabi implemented that. Think about it. Somebody's come to you and said, our leader has been stung by a scorpion. You probably recommend tens of things. But who can say with yaqeen that I will recite over him, inshallah he'll be cured. This is the level of yaqeen we have to reach. A sahabi recited Suratul Fatiha over him. Alhamdulillah, with the will of Allah, the command of Allah, that person was cured. And we have another example as well, that Sayyiduna Kharijah radiyallahu anhu, he reports from his uncle that as I returned from the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I passed by a group of people. One of them was afflicted with insanity, junoon. He was insane and he had been tied in shackles. The people asked me, can you cure him? Thus I recited Suratul Fatiha over him in the morning and night for 3 days. 3 days he recited Suratul Fatiha over him, morning and night. Through his blessings, that person was cured from his insanity. In the power of Suratul Fatiha. This is the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn from these narrations, and there are so many other narrations as well, that seeking shifa through the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely permissible. In fact, there are narrations which tell us that the Sahaba would use amulets for their young children who could not recite themselves. Obviously, it takes time to learn ad'iyya, du'as, adhkar, etc. So those who couldn't recite them, they would write it down and place it around their neck. This is why we have the thubut, the dalil, the proof for ta'weez, amulets. And as for those ahadith which state that one should avoid amulets, in explaining those ahadith, the commentators of hadith, the sharihin, they say what those ahadith refer to are using words which are not from the kalam of Allah or the du'as that are taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they actually consist of words that were used in the period of ignorance before Islam came. In that period of ignorance, people were polytheists, as you know, worshipped multiple gods, and their amulets consisted of words that were blasphemous. It consisted of kufriya kalimat, words of disbelief. So those are impermissible and haram, of course, in Islam. As for using the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an amulet, there's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, throughout the ages, the scholars have endorsed it as well. So Suratul Fatiha, we know, is a powerful surah of the Quran. Let us hear a few other benefits. Today we complain that we have so many problems in our life, so many issues that we are facing. And again, we get confused, where do we turn to? But if the first thing we do is resort to the book of Allah, the kalam of Allah, Suratul Fatiha, then subhanallah, you will find that Suratul Fatiha is a means of removing so many of our problems. It states in a hadith that Sayyiduna Ata says, if someone is in need, he should recite Suratul Fatiha and his need will be fulfilled. The scholars, rahimahumullah ta'ala, state, recite Suratul Fatiha 100 times and then make dua. Your dua will be accepted. They were looking for means to have our du'as accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are we told by the ulama of Islam? Recite Surah Al-Fatiha 100 times. If you sit and you recite Surah Al-Fatiha 100 times, how long will it take you? Maximum, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. Read really slow, maybe 1 hour. But many can read it quicker than that. And if you use this wazifa in your du'as before you supplicate, say, Ya Allah, for the sake of the power, the blessings that you have granted to Surah Al-Fatiha that I have recited, fulfill this need of mine or that need of mine, then inshallah your need will be fulfilled. But the question is, how many of us have that discipline to sit down to recite this surah 100 times and then make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Again, it comes down to our priorities. We give priority to other things. We can speak for hours on end to others, but reciting the kalam of Allah, that's when we find it hard. So we need to habitualize ourselves, inshallah. Another benefit of Surah Al-Fatiha, and this is coming to an end now, the evil eye. We know that nazar is the haqiqah in Islam. Now, when we have been afflicted with the evil eye ourselves, so we know somebody who has, then what's the cure for that again? Here in a narration, we're told, this is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Imran bin Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the residents of the house in which Suratul Fatiha and Ayatul Kursi are recited will be protected from the evil eye of man and jinn on that particular day. So if you want to be protected from the evil eye, you don't want to be afflicted by the evil eye, and of course everybody desires that, that in our house, inshallah, we should recite Surah Al-Fatiha and Ayatul Kursi. So Surah Al-Fatiha, the blessings are endless. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who recites Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Ikhlas is as if he has recited a third of the Quran. A third of the Quran. Another narration states, Surah Al-Fatiha is equivalent to two thirds of the Quran. This is in Al-Jami' al-Saghir. So like this, the ulama have written complete books just devoted to this topic, the excellence, the fadail of Surah Al-Fatiha. When we have been granted this surah, and we know that no other prophet was granted the light of Surah Al-Fatiha. This is a khasiyah of this ummah and our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should not be neglectful in this regard. Recite it in your homes to prevent evil eye. Recite it on your patients, the ones who fall ill in your household, your relatives, friends, recite it over them. We've heard the excellence of that as well. Recite it when you have issues in your life that are not being resolved, your needs are not being fulfilled. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha has immense blessings. And we should cling to it. We should recite it. We should internalize its meanings. After all, we recite in every salah. Now, how unfortunate is that person who's been reciting, offering salah for 30 years, 40 years, and he doesn't even know the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. It's a big deprivation. We should know what we're reading. Why is this the greatest surah in the Quran? What themes does it consist of? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Surah Al-Fatiha? Inshallah, the more we ponder over Surah Al-Fatiha and its realities, inshallah Allah Azza wa Jal will bless us in abundance. This was just a brief overview of the excellences, the fadail of Surah Al-Fatiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to remember them and implement this surah in our lives as well. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Calling upon you.